Chapter 15. Idolica, Alcazar Astra. It was a wall of green flesh, a perimeter of brawn, bone, and armor, an enclosure of savagery and Xenos hatred. The genetic forefathers of the Fists Exemplar had stood on the walls of the Imperial Palace during the Battle of Terror. All of Dawn's sons knew what it took to defend a wall, and what it took to bring one crashing down. Second Captain Maximus Thane knew, but despite bringing wall after greenskin wall toppling to the hull of the Starfort in clouds of gore and splinter showers of skull, Thane always found that another beast wall had been erected behind the bloody ruins in its place. It had been carnage for the past hour. The Alcazar Astra trembled with the storming footfalls of the alien invader. Battle brothers stood their ground on the thick void plating of the Fortress Monastery's hull, with wild blades and bullets sparking off the scorched surface of their armor. The greenskins were everywhere, smothering the fallen Starfort with their foul alien presence. The Space Marines fought for their commanders, they fought for their companies, they fought for their chapter and their Fortress Monastery. They fought for their world. Like the metal gargoyles adorning what had been the Starfort's void ramparts, the Adeptus Astartes refused to move. They would not allow their defensive lines to be broken, but the green tide was irresistible as it washed monstrosities up from the sands and across the monastery decking, flooding each mighty transept with innumerable targets. As Maximus Thane ducked and weaved, kicked and blasted, he felt like the Fortress Monastery was sinking. Not below the sands, but below the great number of the enemy. There was green everywhere. Savage after savage came at him and the Space Marines of his honored company. Inside his helmet it was no better. There, too, he was drowning in reports and requests, his suit filtering vox transmissions from his own desperate men over a cacophony of communications coming from Fist's Exemplar brothers holding the rest of the fort's perimeter. It seemed that the alien brutes were pressing the defenders from all sides simultaneously, with muscle to spare and a constant stream of reinforcements. Hugging his Umbra pattern bolt gun close into his shoulder, Thane felt the kick of the honorable weapon. Like a beast of burden, thrashing and bucking its way to freedom, it wanted to be let loose on the enemy. But ammunition was precious. No battle brother could know for how long he or his bolter would be needed. It was better to conserve the blessed shells than bury them in alien cadavers already finding their way to the ground. With his elbows out and bolt gun tucked in close to his plate, the captain smashed his way through the walls of alien meat. Blood and snaggled teeth flew from where Thane buried the elbow counter joints of his suit into snarling green faces. Guts spilled from towering behemoths whose swollen bellies came in line with a squat barrel of his gun. A beast came at him from the left, a hydraulically augmented nightmare from the right. An axe of some brute description sang off his pauldron. A hulking greenskin, struggling to bring its steaming rotor cannon under control, managed to sink lead into the flesh of the mongrel monsters attempting to tackle Thane to the ground. The captain's plate registered the impact of several glancing rotor shells before swiftly reporting an update of full suit integrity in his visor display. Thane brought his bolt gun up. Unlike the rotor-gunning greenskin, he did not miss his target. A judicious staccato of shells opened the beast's skull up like an oasis fruit. With vicious momentum, the captain smashed the orcs coming at him from the side back into their ranks. The first was trampled under the boots of its gore-hungry comrades. The second soaked up several suit-augmented impacts before Thane's elbow broke through its helmet, hydraulics, and skull. Between the split-second ducking, dodging, and evasive footwork, and when he wasn't forced to end some mindless oncoming brute, the captain attempted to cast his gaze about the swarming transept. Several battle brothers had gone down. He'd seen brothers Vo and Martigan both murdered by the same power-clawed monstrosity.
"Sergeant Hawk," Thane voxed, "get those battle brothers back on the ramparts."
"Yes, sir,"
Hawk voxed back, the ferocious chatter of his bolter in the background.
"A step back towards the hangar bays is a step in retreat," the captain called. "Let that be on the conscience of any battle brother indulging such a notion."
"Yes, sir,"
Hawk returned,
his voice once again lost in desperate boltfire. Thane took the heads off three advancing creatures with his bolt gun, while a fourth sprayed the fist's exemplar with lead from its own crude automatic weapon. "Brother Aquino," Thane said, "stop playing with that thing and end it swiftly. The enemy are pushing through." "Yes, Captain." Sparks rained off the captain's plate as the lead sprayer closed. Smashing the weapon aside with his own, Thane found that the primitive death dealer came apart with relative ease. Trusting in the craftsmanship of his own weapon, the captain stabbed its muzzle into the creature's jaw, taking out a lump of flesh. Momentarily dazed, the monster reached for another weapon from its sagging belt. Its claw never got there, however. Thane had shot it through the eye and was pushing past it before the greenskin's carcass hit the hull. "Squad Autolican! Squad Lucifer, close that gap!" the captain bawled across the Vox channel. "You could get a land raider through there!" "We could use a land raider up here!" a battle brother voxed between sword-swinging exertions. "Secure your mouth, brother," Sergeant Hawk hit back. "Keep your mind on your work and follow your captain's commands." As Thane blasted through two more greenskin savages, he was forced to admit that the battle brother was right. Chapter land raiders would have done a nice job of breaking up the greenskin swarms on the dunes. Their heavy bolters would have crashed through the monstrous lines. Their las cannons would have cut through the dense formations. Their tracks would have mulched the green invader into the black Idolican sands. They would have created an advancing line of rally points, allowing the Fist's exemplar to push the enemy vanguard back. That was all fantasy now. Chapter Master Alameda had gone out to meet the first wave of greenskins on the Fortunata Flats as they thundered from the black desert world skies. Anticipating that the Xenos would fight from the fortifications of their rocks and landing hulks, the Chapter Master had brought tracked fortifications of his own, in the form of the Chapter's land raiders. A second wave of descents had landed almost on top of the first, however. While having the virtue of smashing many of the rocks and accompanying barbarian mobs into the desert peninsula, the second wave descent also pulverized the land raider formation. Tanks were buried beneath rocks. Tanks were smashed to ruins. Tanks were bounced and toppled by the impact quakes of landing hulks. The formation scattered, while the crews of other partially immobilized vehicles were forced to fall back to exposed hold points in the dunes. Chapter Master Alameda wasn't among them. His command vehicle had been one of the first smashed into the sands. Thane couldn't imagine how many waves there had been since that dark hour. 50? Perhaps 100? Barely a handful of land raiders had made it back, and those were sent on immediately by First Captain Garthas to support Captain Dentor, fighting on the Tharkis Flats and in the Great Basin. Two great arms suddenly wrapped around the captain. Something had seized Thane from behind. The arms were thick and scarred, and Thane felt like he was in the embrace of one of the Alcazar Astra's redundant void-docking anchors as he was lifted off the deck of the Starfort. A huge orc had reared to its full height and had taken him towards the heavens with it. The deluge of green fury swept in beneath Thane, hacking at the captain's thrashing boots with chain choppers and great axes. Thane's plate was telling him something alarming about the hulk's colossal embrace and its effect on the suit's integrity. He could hear the creak of ceramite about him and the strain of servos. Above him, the monster's elephantine skull belted out a roar of triumph, something to enrage the sea of green about it to savage jubilation, before it acted upon its intention to crush the Adeptus Astartes like a cheap alloy can. Thane felt the monster tense further. His auto-senses registered a rapid descent, and before he knew it, he was back on the hull of the Alcazar Astra. The creature had released him, and the captain was free. Descending further to one ceramite knee, Thane turned in the gore, his bolt gun ready to blast a crater in the gargantuan thing. He found that the giant greenskin's legs had been taken out from under it. The creature had nothing below its knees and had fallen down onto the bloody stumps. As it toppled forwards onto all fours, Thane saw Apothecary Rayok standing behind the beast. Rayok had been responsible for the sweeping amputation. His armor was dripping with blood, but his chainsword gleamed like a surgical tool. The apothecary stomped forwards, hacking down on the maimed creature, executing precision strikes like a living autopsy on the beast orc. It roared its rage and frustration briefly before the apothecary worked his way up to the fang-mangled skull of the thing and took it off at the neck. "Back!" Maximus Thane bawled as he slid back around on his knee. Behind him, he found the wall of green once more. "Back! Back! Back!" he called, his commands accompanied by single bolt rounds of persuasion. One by one, the rushing oncomers dropped before the weapon's fury. A thunderhawk swooped above them, hammering into the masses with its heavy bolters. The gunship cut a path of mulched orc flesh through the enemy lines, taking with it the next few beasts in line for Thane's vengeance. The thunderhawks were doing what they always did, performing admirably. They were inflicting horrific casualties on the invasion host, but the impact of their bloody work was neither seen nor felt by the battle brothers on the ground. The orcs weren't impressed by the gunships or their death-delivering ordnance. The roar of the Mars pattern engines and the punishment of their heavy guns and cannons drove the monsters into fits of exultant rage. As a homogeneous war host, the orc invaders resembled some kind of mythical beast. Where one creature fell, two others would charge from the throngs in its place. Standing once more, Thane felt his power pack brush against the apothecary's. The pair fought back to back, Rayok opening up monsters with precision and Thane finding his way to single-shot kills with his brutal bolter fire. "Mortalities?" Thane called across the helmet box. 14 that have been relayed to my suit," Rayok replied, gunning his chainsword in neat arcs. "I thought worse than that." "You're relieved by the number," the apothecary said. "You shouldn't be. Do the arithmetic. We won't see the dawn." Ducking beneath the irresistible orbit of a crude hammer, Thane slammed his bolt gun into the wielder's gut. Pushing against the creature with his suit-augmented might, the Fist's exemplar space marine made a little space between himself and the alien. Not much. There were 1,000 other monsters behind it, howling for their transhuman blood. It had, however, created enough of a gap to bring up the bolt gun and blast several ragged holes into the greenskin's chest. The orc fell back into the roaring green masses.
"Well, the good news," Rayok told him, "is that our losses are fewer than on the other transepts. Hieronymax is down 1/4 strength, Zontague nearly 1/2.
"Holy throne," Thane hissed. Then,
"Reloading!"
Rayok stretched himself to keep the beasts from his captain. Driving the chainsword through one monster, he reverse-gunned the weapon and sworded through the limbs of 2 other unfortunates. Then, once again, the hammer came at them. The monster, swinging it, was back, despite having a bolt-blasted ribcage. The heavy metal weapon came over the orc's howling head and straight down at the space marines. Moving aside and away from one another, Thane and Rayok allowed the head of the weapon to smash into the void hull, where the captain fancied it might have even dented the armor plating. The apothecary put a boot on the hammer and proceeded to saw through the weapon's reinforced shaft.
"The head,"
Rayok suggested. Thane nodded. The thing's ugly features were staring at the deck, its eyes following the hammer and the mess the monster had hoped it would make of the Adeptus Astartes. Priming the bolt gun, Thane stared down his sights before blasting the orc up under its chin and through the back of its skull. This time, the beast fell away for good. With their attention on the hammer-wielding savage, the captain and apothecary had allowed the crushing swarms of orcs to crowd them once more. Thane's disciplined bolt blasts were now at almost point-blank range. Rayok had little space to conduct his surgical dismemberments and was forced to snatch one of his bolt pistols from a thigh holster and show off his own close-quarter marksmanship. A heavy axe, cut brutally from a single piece of vessel hull decking, found Thane momentarily wanting. It smashed the captain to one side, breaching the plate of his pauldron and sending one of his bolt rounds wide. It took a second or so for Thane to recover, but by then both axe swinger and bolt survivor were upon him, the creatures hacking away at the captain's honourable plate. The monsters roared. Thane roared back, throwing himself at the gigantic specimens. Grabbing one of the beasts by a shoulder spike, he buried the muzzle of his bolt gun in the orc's pot-bellied abdomen. Blasting several rounds into the greenskin's gut, he allowed the alien to fall, clutching at its ruined midriff with its claws. Almost immediately, Thane brought the bolt gun up and blasted through the throat of the second. It dropped to reveal the partially obscured shape of a larger monster behind it.
"This isn't working,"
Thane said across the vox.
You don't have to tell me,
Rayok replied, sweeping his chainsword about him in tight arcs of flesh-carving efficiency.
Oratorium,
Thane switched channel. This is Second Captain Thane, Transept West.
Yes, Captain, a voice returned. It didn't belong to the first captain.
Where's Garthus?
Thane brought down the hulking orc before him. It took three bolts, which was more ammunition than he had budgeted for the task. He helm-butted a smaller warrior wretch and smashed in the skull of a third with the clutched gauntlet grip of his bolt gun. Alien brains speckled his plate.
We suffered a breach, Captain, the oratorium replied. Fortress Monastery North. Captain Hieronymax is down. The first captain went to repel the breach force with the chapter master's honor guard and support the ninth.
Sounds like Garthus,
Rayok added across a private channel with simultaneous hints of derision and respect.
To whom do I speak?
Thane said. Another greenskin died, then another, and another.
Brother Zerberin, Captain.
Thane recognized the name, a member of Alameda's honor guard. The warriors fighting at the first captain's side, Fortress Monastery North.
Are you injured, honored brother?
At Fortunata, Captain,
Zerberin replied.
Brother, Thane said, we are hard-pressed to gain any ground here. The void ramparts are swarming with greenskins. Can Captain Tyrion spare brothers for a frontline repulsion? We have to push these savages back into range of our weapons, then we might be able to hold them there.
Negative, Captain,
Zerberin said.
The first captain's orders were very specific. All companies to hold their own fronts. He did not want resulting strategic weaknesses to lead to breach actions.
We already have breach actions,
Thane snapped back. As the captain spoke, the killing continued.
And we cannot afford another, Zerberin said. I'm sorry, sir. These are the first captain's orders. I would no more countermand them than your own.
What about the guns?
Apothecary Rayok barked, slashing back the beasts with one hand, while plugging charging green swine in the face with a bolt pistol clutched furiously in his other.
The rampart guns are silent,
Thane relayed. Indeed, the mega bolters and Gatling blaster emplacements had smoked to a stop some time before. Their absence had been keenly felt by the Fist's exemplar on the west transept.
Master Aloysian ordered the weapons to cease firing, sir,
Zerberin reported.
The Master of the Forge observed protocols recognizing that fighting on the ramparts had become a close-quarters engagement. The guns were silenced in order that no battle brothers be harmed by the Starfort's weaponry.
We'll risk it, Rayok growled.
Return the guns to operation, Thane commanded. The Master's orders, sir,
Zerberin replied.
His protocols won't allow it.
Are we to die out here by regulation and protocol?
Thane called back.
Patch me through to Master Aloysian.
As you wish, Captain.
I fear he enjoyed that,
Rayok said of the officious Zerberin. Thane had other problems. His bolt gun was empty. Like many of his brother Fists, he would need resupplying, and soon. There was no time for such expediency, however. Swamped by greenskins clambering over the corpses of their barbarian kin, Thane had used the final few rounds of the sickle magazine to take the momentum out of a rabid charge mounted by a suicidal throng of alien monstrosities. He didn't even have the precious moments it would take to recover his final clip, Maglock, to the rear of his belt. The mob of orcs surrounding the captain were met with thrashing elbows and the stamp of armored boots. Ducking instruments of bludgeoning improvisation, and allowing the broad blades of crude machetes to glance off his pauldrons, Thane tried to give back as much savagery and violence as was being collectively bestowed on him.
Master Aloysian?
Yes, Second Captain,
the Master of the Forge returned. Thane tried to imagine the Tech Marine in the Generatorium, at the head of an army of drone-brained servitors, a perpetual scowl buried in the white of his beard.
Master, I need the rampart guns to visit Dawn's ire on the enemy once more,
Thane put to him. The captain brought down a beast with a power-armored sweep of one leg before stamping down on the throat of the prone creature with the sole of his boot. It took several determined stomps to crush through the gristle and iron-hard muscle of the greenskin's neck.
Impossible, Captain,
Aloysian told him.
That's not acceptable, Master Aloysian. I don't care for the letter of your protocols. We need those guns.
Their protocols are runic,
Aloysian called back.
They will not compromise their own observances, and those observances exist to preserve life.
Life is not being preserved out here, Master Aloysian. I can assure you of that.
Captain,
the Tech Marine returned,
I can't do anything for you. Each holy weapon would need catechizing by hand. Besides, I've sent the gun crews to Fortress Monastery North to establish barricades and corridor emplacements.
What can the Generatorium do for us? Thane asked bitterly. The enemy is upon us as a relentless force. Our weapons run dry and battle brothers are dying in their droves.
Little, Captain,
Aloysian said with regret.
Once the Alcazar Astra was an instrument of preservation, a great weapon among the stars. Now the fort is an instrument to be preserved, an objective to be garrisoned and guarded. As a fortress home, it serves with honour, but great weapon of the void, it is no more.
Thane dwelled on the Forge Master's words. He thought of the Alcazar Astra restored to her former glory, her great engines turning her graceful bulk to present her batteries of void cannon to the armada junk ships of the alien invader. He momentarily lived the pure obliteration the Starfort could visit on hulks and landers packed to their rattletrap airlocks with hulking greenskins. Invaders it would take hours to meat grind through in the ramparts could be void scorched in moments in orbit. Thane's fantasy had cost him. A towering brute of a greenskin, repugnant even by the standards of its breed, battered two orc bully boys aside to get to the captain. It swung a length of sharpened girder in its hulking claws like a broadsword. The irresistible path of the heavy blade swooped underneath Thane's elbow and smashed the captain to one side, cleaving the ceramite of his torso into crumpled plating. Auto-senses within his helm went wild. The girder blade came down at Thane from above. It didn't have the same orbital force as the first blow, but all the captain had to offer in defence was his forearm plate, his empty bolt gun still held tightly in his gauntlets. Slicing into the plate of the defending arm, the monstrous orc cut down at the captain as he knelt on one armoured knee. The apothecary's gleaming chainblade was suddenly between them. The glint of its monomolecular teeth seemed to grab the beast's attention. It swung the girder blade at Rheok, the apothecary defending as elegantly as a battle brother might against such force and ferocity. Slicing and lopping at each other, the savage not seeming to notice the bite of the chainsword's tip, the pair clashed blades. Holding the chainsword out in front of him, Rheok gunned it to a screeching blur. Sparks showered the pair. The girder must have been made of some reinforced alloy, something scavenged by the creature from a crashed vessel. The chainblade was struggling against the material, and the orc used the difficulty to put its full weight behind the crude edge. The brute pushed with all its savage might, sending Rheok tumbling back into a knot of smaller creatures. By the time it returned its barbaric attentions to Thane, the captain was back on his feet. The girder blade came up. The tusked maw snarled. A battle brother was suddenly there to defend his captain, his bolt gun blazing, but the monster absently cleaved the space marine in two.
Captain!
A second fist exemplar called. His weapon was spent also, and he cut deep into the creature's green flesh with a gladius blade. The colossal orc's arm shot out and grabbed the space marine by the helmet. His entire head was lost in the thing's claw. The battle brother dropped both empty bolt gun and sword. His limbs thrashed furiously as the monstrous orc crushed his helm and tossed his armored body out into the killing fields of its kin. The beast was back on Thane in an instant. Its mongrel weapon rose. Thane brought up his bolt gun. The length of the weapon was all he had to put between him and the sword's mangling impact. But the captain suddenly jabbed the bolt gun forwards, smashing into the greenskin's tusk-crowded jaws with the empty sickle clip. Thumbing the ejection stud, Thane retracted the bolt gun, leaving the magazine embedded in the beast's fractured face. The broadsword came down. Thane stepped aside and drew back his right gauntlet. Leaning into the servo-supported punch, Maximus Thane slammed his fist into the clip, hammering it into the monster's skull. The girder blade rang to the deck first, followed swiftly by the small green mountain of the orc's corpse. Snatching his remaining magazine from his belt and slamming it home, Thane blasted several greenskin savages clear of the struggling apothecary. The remaining beasts fell to a 360-degree spin that Rheok accomplished with his chainsword, aided by the slick of gore on the void hull surface.
Captain!
The master of the forge called.
Captain, are you still there?
Yes, Master Aloysian, Thane replied. But not for much longer. We have to force the enemy back to range. The alien are too many, and we are too few to take them one at a time. As Apothecary Rayok says, the arithmetic doesn't add up.
What can I do, Captain?
You can activate the Alcazar Astra's remaining plasma drive.
Captain?
Are you hearing me, Aloysian? Thane called across the Vox channel. I want you to fire the transept east engine column.
But, Captain,
the Master of the Forge protested,
the Starfort is buried in a crater of its own making. It cannot ascend on one engine alone.
Can it be done? Thane demanded.
The Fortress Monastery's superstructure will suffer damage.
Would you rather the invader demolish it instead?
The fort will incline, not ascend, Captain,
the Tech Marine insisted. I certainly hope so, Maximus Thane said. Sliding about in the gore, his chainsword singing its way through tough alien flesh, Rayok allowed himself a grunt of realization and agreement.
I should vox the first captain,
Master Aloysian said. Captain Garthas is busy, Thane told him. I am ranking brother on the ramparts, and this strategy concerns their very orientation.
Yes, Captain.
As soon as possible, Master Aloysian, Thane added. Brother Fists will pay for any delay.
Yes, Captain.
Crashing bolts through the greenskins throwing themselves at him, Thane smashed and skidded his way back to Apothecary Rayok. Brother Zerberin, the second captain voxed to the injured honorarius.
Captain,
I want you to vox all companies and captains with the following order, Thane said. Before the battle brother could protest, Thane added, and if you don't, Brother Zerberin, in less than a minute, you'll very much wish you had.
What's the order?
Zerberin crackled back after a moment's hesitation. All Fists Exemplar battle brothers to maglock their boots to the void hull.
Why?
The Honor Guard Space Marine voxed back. Once again, the apothecary and the captain's packs brushed. Back to back, the Fists Exemplar Space Marines carved and blasted an open space in the green edifice of muscle and savagery surrounding them. An island of life, raw and desperate, in a sea of alien barbarity and death. Four gore-spattering clunks, one after another, echoed about the carnage as Thane and Rayok maglocked their armored boots to the blood-slicked deck.
Why?
Thane voxed back to Zerberin.
Because we are going for a ride.